All right, Mr. Samson, we just got done interviewing Mr. Matt Beard, and dude, a good human, right? Good human, great story, and love hearing about his, you know, his little business that started out about $400,000 the first year, and then, you know, by year two just went to $9 million. So just, you know, just a small little growth pattern. And he talks about how he did it, how it happened, and then how he actually walked away from it, which is actually even more of a remarkable story. So that was kind of the highlight for me in that podcast. But Sam, what was the thing that you took away from it?
I think the most important thing that I learned from it is Matt did not let profit or income dictate how he was operating his life.
Yeah.
How he felt internally, right, in his heart and in the peace of mind meant so much to him that he basically walked away from legitimately millions of dollars. Yeah. And that is a rare thing to do and is an extremely powerful thing to do. And the most important thing that I take away from today is just how genuine of a human being Matt Beard is. And I think I needed a lot of those reminders today. Yeah. And I think
Super knowledgeable, like really smart guy. Like he knows his stuff. And I think there's something really bad about somebody who's a teacher, he's a mentor, he's a leader that knows what he's teaching about.
Dude, absolutely. Guys, this is going to be one of the favorite ones that I think I've done in a long time. Can't wait for you guys to see it.
What is going on, everybody? Today, we have a really cool, amazing human being on the podcast today. We have Mr. Matt Beard on the podcast today, somebody who I know personally, someone Sam knows personally, and excited to unpack his origin story. He's got a lot of stuff going on. He's got some new ventures going on as well that I'm excited to hear more about. But without further ado, Matt, thank you so much for being on the show today, my friend.
Rock and roll, baby. Super excited. Thank you guys for having me. I love what you do here. Like I told you before we even got started, I was watching you guys' other episodes. I'm like, why am I even on here? This is so cool. So yeah, thanks for having
me. You a stud, my friend. You a stud.
Honestly, this is one of those, there's a few episodes that are really surreal for me with certain guests that are really surreal for me. So Matt, you have no idea. I've never told you this in person. You were one of the first people that actually showed me how to do this game at a high level. And you have no idea. So when I first got into the industry, before I joined any community or any mentorship, you were doing a series of YouTube lives every single day. And you did it without fail for, how long did you go?
It was a year. I did it every day for a year.
That's every awesome. Day for a year, like without fail. And it was towards the end of the day, if I remember correctly.
It was whenever I could get it in, dude. We were traveling. Cody and I were in Miami one time, and I like brought the camera, and we were like lucky to get it in. But I was like, hey, I'm just going to try to do it every day for a year for sure.
Dude, you crushed it. And for me,
that's the anthem, Matt. I'm just trying to get it in. Whenever I can get in, I get it in.
Whatever it is, dude.
That'll get you through your college years. That'll get you through your 20s. It was really amazing because I think at the time, especially on YouTube, a free platform, no one was going into the things that you were going into. You were not holding anything back. And for me trying to get into the game at the time, being very new, not knowing anything, I was like, holy crap, this guy's just giving it all away. So you had no idea that I was an observer of it. And then I joined some communities. We get to know each other more. And now you're on my podcast.
We're here, dude.
So, dude, one, you're a friend. You're a friend to both of us. I consider you someone that I truly look up to. You're an amazing human being. But I want to give you a highlight on what the origin story is all about. And it's one basic rule. And that's that when people are getting started and they're trying to do something really, really dangerous and really risky and scary, and that's becoming an entrepreneur, right? That's a scary thing. They need people that they can look forward to, that they can look up to. And they don't relate to the Lambos. They don't relate to gigantic yachts. They relate to origin stories, man. And you're a guy who's documented yours amazingly. But that's what we want to highlight. So without further ado, Matt freaking Beard.
Dude, what an intro. Wow. Good stuff. Like, shout out to you for watching those videos, dude, when no one else was watching. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go live every day and we'll just try to figure it out. Someone's like 11 o'clock at night, 12. I'm half asleep and I'm just like fumbling on my words. But I'm like, we got a message. We got to say this stuff. So yeah, a lot's changed. A lot of stuff has happened since way back when. I think the one thing that I can look back to from the time I got started is like, man, your life can change really quick if you have a singular focus, right? If you decide what you want and you get kind of get fed up with your own bullshit, you know, the stories that you tell yourself. I remember you know, I was always like, man, it would be nice to make money in real estate, or it would be nice to make money, you know, having my own business and stuff. But, you know, I'm not a salesperson, or that's a little extreme. Like, I come from, like, my family, we had restaurants growing up, so we ate really good. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the South, from South Carolina. So it was fried chicken and lemonade and stuff. But like, I never wanted to own a restaurant. That was like seeing my parents go through it. My mom, you know, she tried to run it, but like literally she was a slave to the business. I'm like, I never wanted to do this, but she always believed in me a lot. Like, you know, her and my dad split up when I was like three, but there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I don't hold any grudges or anything, because like, I'm so young, I didn't really know any difference. Right. But it was just two different perspectives. Like, my mom's on this side being like, you just do whatever you want, dream, you know, whatever. And then my dad's like, you should go into police force. You need to have structure, whatever, you know, you need to do this. Here's your path kind of thing. So I was so grateful to have, you know, even though she was just working all the time, it's just so glad to have her just like believe in me to say like, do whatever you want. Right. So I wanted to walk on, I wanted to play Division I football. And I did. I walked on to ASU, which was really cool. That was like always my goal. And so I transferred from South Carolina out to Arizona State to do that. And that was the reason why I ended up in Arizona in the first place. I would have never known I'd be here today. But I did know, like, one thing sports does for you really well is it instills some discipline. And I learned a lot in that process of like, hey, when the time comes to sink or swim, the funny thing is we always figure out a way to swim, right? Yeah. Winners are going to win, period. So like, fast forwarding through all of that stuff. And, you know, I was out here going to school. It was just me by myself. I didn't have any other family members in Arizona. You know, I took a job at a gym just to make minimum wage. And that's where I met my wife. We were working together, and now we've been married for 7 years. So that's like, it's just crazy how everything just kind of like falls into place. But I just look back to, you know, baking basically nothing. And I became a personal trainer, and I was making $20 an hour doing that. And I was like, well, I can only do so many training sessions on a day-to-day basis. And I was like, man, there's got to be more to it. Cause I ended up hating working out, because I was like, I had to do it to make it. I was there from like 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. every single day. But I learned a lot in that process too. So it was cool to kind of see, like, obviously my upbringing, you know, my family being their own boss, and then me working at a gym. And I was like, man, I don't like answering to the man. So I always wanted to kind of have my own thing. But I didn't know what that was going to be until I was like, you know what, there's got to be something more than just working hourly or getting paid based on what you can perform on an hourly basis, because there's not enough time in the day.
Yeah.
And I started looking at real estate as the opportunity. So I became an agent. Yes. And that was like my first in real estate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. You like speak to my heart, because that's my come up as I was a personal trainer, right? And like, being in the gym from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m., like, run the split shifts. Like, people think that when you're in the gym all day, like, you should be in shape. And all the trainers are like, they get resentful towards working out, because like, you have to be there rather than you wanting to be there.
I wanted to do was still be at the gym after like being there from like 5 to lunch. I'm like, oh, I got an hour break. I could work out, or I can try to go take a nap, you know?
Yeah. Or I could leave this place and I can go home.
Yes, exactly.
It's like, people are like, what do you like? You just like working all the time. It's like, when you go to your job, let's say that you love to cook, but you're a chef all day. Like, do you go home and cook? It's like, no, man. Like,
no, dude.
Like, you want someone to bring the food to you. Like, go, like, go get takeout, right? So it's like, personal trainer is the same way. Anyway,
for sure.
It's real, right? It's, I think it was real, but tell us about this, this transition into being a real estate agent.
Yeah. So I was stuck in the gym, and basically, I mean, I let my health slip once I actually started to become successful, because like, I got like this obsessive personality. I'm like, when I do something, I'm going all in. So I stopped working out, gained all this weight, but shout out, I signed up for a Spartan in November. So nice. I got to get in shape beforehand. So that should be fun. So I was a personal trainer, and I'm like, well, how do I get out of this? I need the consistent income, because my wife was a student teacher at the time. She wasn't making any money, and we were living together in an apartment. And I was like, I was responsible for making all the money. So I got into real estate by doing something really weird. I went and got my real estate license, and I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with this now. Do I want to go cold call people? Do I want to go do listings? I'm like, I'm not that guy. But I used to do what's called broker price opinions back in high school when 2008 happened, and all the houses started going up for foreclosure into 2010. My mom was an agent in South Carolina. I would go out and take photos of houses, right, that were basically getting, you know, repossessed by the bank. So I'll go take photos. You know, they're checking on the, you know, they want you to do a price opinion of that house, take some exterior, interior photos so they can assess like the asset and like what current condition it's in, right? So every time I would do one of those, I'd make like $35. And it was just a matter of me driving the house to house to house to house. So I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to be in the gym anymore. And I can replace this income by simply going and taking pictures of houses. I can get out of this. And then eventually I can like get into real estate. That was just my way of just not doing the hard work, even though I know I should have. So I was doing like 150 of these BPOs a month, getting paid like $35 to $40 each. So I was making $6,000 or so a month doing this. And it was like, okay, this is decent income, but I could only do so many of them.
Yeah.
Right. But I learned a lot in that process. I learned about houses. I learned about how much, you know, what the difference is in different areas. Like if you tell me the crossroads here in Phoenix, I know where it's at because I did so many of these freaking houses, which helped me with comping. Like I think a lot of people, when they get started in real estate, like, I don't know how to tell what a house is worth and all this other stuff. It really helped me with that. But again, I was at a place where it's like, look, I can only do so much of these. And I was trying to go back and forth with my own personal training clients. So I was like, you know what? I got this real estate license I haven't used. You know, I had a mentor at the time, and because I was trying to make that transition, I'm like, what am I missing? I need a coach. But really, I needed to stop being freaking lazy and go do the work. I think that's also a cop out, by the way. A lot of people like post like, what am I missing? Can someone coach me? Can someone help? It's like, no. The reality is, you know what you should do, right? I think a lot of times we know what we need to do. At least I did, at least, and I just did nothing with it for a long time. And my mentor basically told me at the time and said, hey, dude, you don't need to know everything. Cause I was like so nervous to just talk to somebody about their house. Cause when I was going to go start taking listings as an agent, I was going to have to go sit in their living room and tell them why they should list with me, even though I'm a new agent and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. He's like, you don't have to know everything. Just go be yourself. Like you are the biggest value. Just go talk to somebody. And that basically gave me the freedom to start actually taking listings as an agent. Cause I got fed up with my own stuff, right? I got fed up with my own life, basically making $6,000 a month, but kind of still living paycheck to paycheck. Cause I would figure out a way to spend it and life happens. Cause like, you know what I'm saying? So all that happened. And that I remember it was, I think it was 2018. That February, I decided that enough was enough. I'm going to start taking on listings. And in March of 2018, I took like 12 listings in a month. I'm like, okay, well now my life is different. And I was just basically off to the races from there. I grew to hate it, Rich. I think that's okay. I think we can go through the motions and we can figure out ways of, we can do things that could pay us good money. There's so many ways. I mean, you guys see from the people you have on the show and from your own business ventures and stuff, there's a million ways to make money, but what is it that you really want? Right? What is it that, what really gives you energy? And what you'll learn is the more money you make does not give you the fulfillment. Like it's got to come from something that you enjoy doing. So I had a good friend of mine named Cody Barton. Some of you guys may know. I knew him from way back because when I first moved out here, he conned me into selling energy drinks with him. so I was doing all the things. But I hit him back up because I saw he was like getting out of being an agent himself and he was going into wholesaling. I'm like, what are you doing over here? You know, like I would love to learn a little bit more about this. And he had done like two or three deals and he was like, he was working with this guy named Pace Morby. They had just like got together and started talking about doing deals and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that sounds great. I'm currently an agent. Like I have this weird situation where this guy doesn't have much equity in his house and he won't be able to pay me a commission. Like, what should I do with this? And then Pace is like, sell it to me. I hear him in the background of the phone, sell it to me. And I'm like, okay, well, what can you pay me? He goes, I'll pay you $2,500. And I'm like, can you give me $3,500? He goes, hell no, it's not a deal for anyone else. I'm like, okay. But this was so early on. It was just fun because he still owned his Homevestors franchise. But I just look back, it was just craziness. But, you know, like having that conversation, seeing it happen from someone that I knew, because I saw, you know, being an agent, I hated it because I feel like I was a therapist for every single person. Listings would sit and I wouldn't get paid for so long. And I saw Cody over here getting these big checks and he just bought a Maserati. I'm like, all right, what am I missing out? What's going on? You know? And so I took that and I saw that and I'm like, I know Cody. If he can do it, I know I can do it. Yeah. I saw ads on Facebook, people with three-piece suits on selling their courses and stuff about wholesaling. I'm like, that's a scam. But once I saw Cody, I'm like, I know that guy. I can do it too. Yeah. So that kind of changed everything for me at that point.
That's awesome, dude. It's funny because like being a personal trainer, like you mm-hmm. sell your time for money and then you go mm-hmm. in being real estate agent and it appears to be different, but it's the same vehicle, right? Like you're still selling your time for a bigger paycheck, but it's still like mm-hmm. it's you're selling your time for money. And now we're starting to talk about getting into the wholesale game. And that obviously is a little bit of a different game. So tell us about your ventures now into
wholesale. Much different game. So we had planned this, but I took a book with me that changed my life. It's called The One Thing by Gary Keller. Mm. And up to this point, you know, like the whole trainer mentality of, hey, you're going to trade our time for money. I just had different vehicles of trading my time for money. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make some money over here. I got this other thing. I'm making money over there. I have my real estate agent listings and make money here. And then, oh my gosh, if I could just do one wholesale deal a month, I've got money coming in from all over the place. And my wife for the longest time was like, well, what if you didn't half-ass all these things and you just pick one thing? And I'm like, that sounds good, but not really. I'm going to try all the things, you know? And then, you know, while we're in Europe, I read the book from start to finish. And I remember when I finished the book, I was like, my life's never going to be the same again. Like, it sounds so cheesy. I went and told my wife, I'm like, hey, so I'm just going to focus on one thing. And she goes, you idiot. I've been telling you that for a long time.
But now it's my idea. So
yeah, exactly. Now it's Gary Keller here. He's the one who said it, right? Yeah. So I decided like, hey, when I get back, I actually have it in my journal. I don't have the journal with me. It was just like a daily gratitude journal. I'm like, today is the first day. And I called it was at the time it was exceptional home offers. I'm like, today is the first day of exceptional home offers. It was in the, awesome. It was like July. And I decided I wasn't going to do both. I was going to come back and I'm just going to do wholesaling. Because I had other things pulling at me and these other opportunities that I could just continue to make money. I'm like, nope. And I bet on myself, I'm going to make this happen. And the one thing that really pushed me to do that is when I got back, we got back from Europe. I woke up one morning and I walked out into the kitchen and there was this little bag for me there. And it was like a little gift bag. I'm like, well, it's not my birthday. You know, like what? I didn't get you a gift. Like and my wife, she's like, oh, I got you something. I'm like, well, I didn't get you something. Now I feel bad. And I opened the gift and it's like a little baby shirt. And it says, so the adventure begins. And it was a positive pregnancy test. And I'm like, what? You know, I was like more afraid because I'm like, I'm still figuring it out. I'm not even an adult yet. How am I supposed to do this? But I realized at that point is like all the stories I was telling myself, all the things about I'm not a salesperson, that's too salesy, or a door knocking, that's extreme. I would never do that. Yeah. I realized that was just a limiting beliefs that I just kept holding myself back on. I was like, look, this baby's gonna be here in 9 months if I wanted to or not. So I gotta change my life and I gotta do it quick. So it just reinforced that I was going to go all in. And I did. I just started door knocking pre-foreclosure. So I took that one thing idea, said, if I could just do one thing, what is that? Okay, it's wholesaling. If I could just do one thing in wholesaling, what is that? I'm going to focus on pre-foreclosures. Okay, if I could just focus on one thing in pre-foreclosures, what should I do? Because I don't have the money to outspend everybody. And here it is in Phoenix, and there's so many gurus here. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to go door knock because no one wants to do that. And yeah, I did that for like 4 weeks, just full time from the morning to the end of the day. The first doors, man, I was so embarrassing. I'm so happy no one went with me because I like messed up I remember just walking up to the first door. I pull up outside and there's like a car in the driveway. I'm like, oh my God, someone's home. Oh, someone's actually here. Okay. And it's like walk up just sweating bullets, you know, and I knock on the door and God forbid someone answer. I'm like, hi, do you know anybody like in the neighborhood maybe interested in selling their house? I literally said the worst things and I fell on my face and I'd go back to my car and be like, okay, what could I change on that? Like, what could I fix? Cause I know I'm talking to the right person, but like that was terrible. And what you end up finding is people have like similar rebuttals. Oh, I'm working with the bank or I'm doing X, Y, and Z. It's like, okay. My whole goal was like, how can I keep their door open longer? right? No. And it's the same thing with like selling, or if you're talking, you're trying to close a deal or whatever. It's like, how can I keep the conversation going? So I learned how to overcome these rebuttals because I just did it. Like, I didn't read a script. And I tell people this all the time. It's like, I can give you a script. I can give you exactly what to say. But when the time comes and the lights turn on and it's time to play the game, you're going to forget everything, right? You're just going to have to suck for a while. There's no way around it. And the way I looked at it, it's like, hey, most people will suck for like an hour, right? Or an hour or 2 hours a day, because that's the only time they're committing to it. If I suck for 8 to 10 hours a day and I do that every day, I'm going to have to get better rather quickly. It's like the idea of like someone working out for like 30 minutes and someone going like 2 a days. You're going to get in shape much faster, right? And when you pair that with a good diet, it's like it's a winning recipe. You're going to get in shape way faster than someone who's just like walking on a treadmill for 30 minutes, 3 times a week, right? And then go eating bad food. So it's like, it's the same idea what I did with door knocking. It's like, this is what I'm going to do. And within 3 weeks of this period, I got my first deal and I JV'd with Cody and Pace on it and I made 12 grand. And that changed my life. It wasn't necessarily the money, but it was a paradigm shift of like, what are you capable of?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what else could we do here? There's so much more and we're just getting started. You know what I'm saying?
There's so much power to what you said. And like, you kind of flirted around with the idea, but like nothing in your life changed from that moment of like before you got the pregnancy test till afterwards, aside from a decision that you're
that's
like,
that's it, dude,
it's go time. Like nothing else actually changed. And I think that for most humans, they're afraid of how powerful they can be. Right. That's the truth.
Crazy.
It's like, you are so powerful if you make the decision that that you can be.
Isn't that wild? Like, we can look at a problem just from a different perspective and completely change our life. Just the way we look at it. Like, I have people here in my office and, you know, even with all the employees, I feel like my office is just constantly people coming in and coming out. They come in with a frown. I don't solve their problem. All I do is just say, hey, well, here's a different way to look at it. What's your solution? Like, literally on my door, it says, you can bring a problem, but you better bring a solution too. Yeah. Literally on my door. So they come in, they may have a problem, but by the time they leave, my job is to turn the frown upside down, right? Just by looking at the same problem different, right? And they leave and like, oh, that makes sense. Okay, now I know what I'm going to do. Boom, and they go do it. And it's the same thing way back when. I didn't know this because I wasn't trained on that. No one told me any of this. But yeah, it's just crazy that how we can just take the same problem, look at it differently, and everything changes. And when I got that first check, it had my name on it. Pace, it's even on Pace's Instagram. If you guys go way back, I don't know, he posts so much, it would probably take you a year. But if you go way back, yes, you would see me with a picture of a check. But the main thing was, there was another house that we're going to another appointment. He gave me the check while we're going into another appointment. So, you know, I learned a lot in that process, but I got that money. And I failed myself a little bit because the first thing that I wanted to do was stop doing the thing that was the hardest.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I got the money and I'm like, whoo, no more door knocking, baby. Let's go. Right. Let's go hire some VAs. Let's go pull a list. Let's go spend some money. Let's scale. Doesn't work like that. You know, it doesn't work like that.
Before I want to hit on that. Cause right.
Yeah.
I have a love and hate relationship with the word scale. I think it's the most, and I'm guilty of it. And I've gotten to this point through experience where I've learned that too many people say the word scale way too fast. Mm. And probably about 80%, in my opinion, at least 70 to 80% of people who think they're ready to scale are way too early, way too early. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that. But one thing I wanted to backtrack is this, man. You're still a really young person. And you were even younger then. You had like the foresight and the wisdom and the knowledge to understand that, hey, if I just front load the hours that I suck, because it's the due that has to be paid. If I'm going to get good, I have to go through the reps of just being crap at it. A lot of people, when they're in this game, they don't have that understanding and that awareness, right?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming back then, it's like we still had a ton of gurus, but it's nowhere near where it is now. Like wholesaling YouTube is just a different beast now. So how did you get that level of awareness that early in the game?
Well, so I think it comes from working out, bro. I think like going to the gym and like, so when I decided that I wanted to play Division I football, everyone told me you're too small. Like, how are you going to go play linebacker or fullback in Division I? Like, I got Division III scholarships, but I'm like, no, I want to go D1. I don't care if I got to go walk on, whatever. Right. And even my dad's like, I don't know if you got D1 in you, dude. So, you know, and I learned, it's like, and I decided to do this because I was really fat as a kid. And I was like, you know what? All these people who think I can't do something, I'm going to prove it to myself that I can. And I was like, I don't know, 14 when I made this decision. And I was like, these kids are playing D1. They made this decision when they were 7, right? They made this decision when they were like 8 years old. Their parents put them in the best programs and they're in the best stuff. How in the world am I going to make up for all this missed time? I worked out like 3 times a day, all day. It was my entire life to make it happen. Yeah. And then when I saw what can happen when you just decide to go all in, be obnoxious with it, and just there's something to be said. It's like, hey, you could have been doing this since you were 8 years old, 7 years old, whatever, but you're working out. You're doing this an hour in a day, 2 hours in a day. You're not taking this serious. But I'm doing this 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day. I was able to make up for a lot of missed time. I wish I didn't wait that long. I probably wouldn't have had to do all that, but I learned a lot. And then that same mentality went into, you know, like all the other guys who could outlift me in PE. I was like, nope, I'm gonna be stronger than you just because I'm gonna work out twice a day, yeah. Right? And then I did. I ended up becoming stronger than everybody. And then the same mentality went into this. I was like, hey, the only way I'm going to get, because I need to get results in 9 months. I know there's people who get into real estate investing who doesn't do anything in 9 years, right? There's people who get into this who just wait for something to happen. I need something to happen like this month. And the only way something can happen this month is I just be ridiculous with the work ethic. And I just work all day and I front load all the sucking so I can get better faster.
It's amazing. So we got the first deal, made your first 12K, mm-hmm. right? You JB'd yep. on it. And then, so walk us through the process of that. Did you say, hey, like, let's continue to do some more JVs with Pace and Cody, or did you do a couple deals on your own? Like, walk us through that process.
Yeah. So I got my first deal and Cody's like, all right, so this is what we do. We have 10 virtual assistants and we call high equity absentee and da 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 da. So you need to pull this list and have a virtual assistant call. And I'm like, well, that worked for them because they were okay with spending $12,000 a month. I'm like, this is all I got. So, but I still took the same idea and I'm like, all right, cool, let's do it. So I hired 2 VAs and I got this big list and it almost crippled me completely because all that work that I did, door knocking those pre-foreclosures, made that 12 grand and I was still out doing it. But to be honest with you, I wasn't doing it as hard as I was doing it in August. And I thought that I was just going to be able to do deals from having the virtual assistant, the cold call, and I was going to go close them because I learned a lot on how to talk to people at the door during that period of time. So I was like, boom, okay, I short-circuited all this. And I think like a lot of times getting into a new industry, like we probably learn like 80% of our knowledge in like the first 3 months, yep. right? Because we front load it like that. So I spent all this money and I didn't have any deals coming in. And it was like 1 week went on. I'm like, okay, there goes $1,000. 2 weeks went in. I'm like, okay, I just spent another $1,500. 3 weeks when I'm like, I have nothing to show from this and I'm about to run out of money. So I'm like, all right, I got to go back to, I'm going to scratch the whole high equity thing. I'm just going back to pre-foreclosures. The one thing, duh, I'm going to go back to that, right? So I kept my virtual assistants. I had to hire and fire. That was a nightmare. But I eventually found someone that was really good. His name was Daryl. And Daryl was willing. I'm like, Daryl, I don't have a lot of money to pay you, brother, but I can pay you $2 an hour and you can keep your other job where you're working as chat support. I just need you to help me talk to some of these people that are in pre-foreclosure while I'm out door knocking. And he's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. I can make that happen. So I went back to door knocking and I got my second deal by the end of September. I didn't get paid on that till October, but I got that deal in September. I'm like, okay, cool. We're back to making this thing work. And in October, I did my third deal. So that was another one contract. And then that's where I really started to hear Pace talk about sub two. There was no course. There was nothing out there. He was talking with Eric Sage and he was, him and Eric were going back and forth. His Pace was really learning how to do it. And I just remember being at the batch office and he was talking about it. And I'm like, okay, how can I go find one of these houses? Who does this affect the most? And I was like, okay, so anyone who wants to sell their house that can't, and I don't have money to go pay and try to skip trace this, but maybe they have their home for sale by owner because they can't pay realtor commissions. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's who I need to go find. They don't have much equity and they have it for sale by owner. So I went out and I went and found my first house I purchased for me and my wife. Cause she was like, at this point, she's like, we got a baby on the way. Are we going to buy a house? I'm like, yeah, we're going to buy a house someday, one day. Yeah. But we did within a short period of time. I was like, that's what I put my focus into. And I got that deal in November. But most importantly, I didn't get away from what was working. And I think a lot of times we never give ourselves a chance to really see something come to fruition because we get shiny object syndrome, trying to move around like, oh, this is a great opportunity. Because entrepreneurship in general, guys, there's a million ways to make money. And as you continue to grow, our job is to say no to more of these opportunities. Like I have all these opportunities on my desk and I'd be like, okay, how could I get rid of all these, which are $100,000 opportunities, to say yes to the $1 million one or to say yes to the bigger ones. Right. And that's what it was back then. I was like, hey, I'm just focusing on one thing. And then November I did 17 deals. So it was, you know, getting through those first 3 months and then learning sub two and how to apply that into our, in our foreclosure stuff. No one was doing it. No one was saying it. So that's the only thing that I did. And I stuck to it. We started a door knocking team with Pace. And basically we were just funneling subject two deals for him to buy, and every single one I sold to him, I made $2,500. And I look back and I'm like, well, I'm an idiot. I didn't take, you know, I should have kept some of these, because now in their portfolio is worth like millions. But it got me to where I needed to be, because I learned so much in that process of like, hey, believe in yourself, do the thing, don't quit on the thing. Most of the time we feel like something isn't working is because we're not working hard enough, and give it a chance to work. And that's, and from that point, that November, my life changed forever. And I never looked back after that.
Dude, I mean, that's insane. You went from, you know, doing your first deal to 3 months later doing 17 deals in a month. Like, but work was not done in those 3 months, right? It was done before that.
It's like, oh, I did 20 deals in 4 months. Like, no, you know, it's like, how it all panned out. But yeah, man, you learn so much about yourself, you know, even your self-belief. I just remember sitting on Sunday service with everybody else when it was a dial-in show, and like Pace was talking about like, hey, Anna, how much you make on that flip? $64,000. And my wife's like, that better be you. I'm like, I'm trying, you know? and just like fast forward all the crazy stuff. So that same guy, Daryl, who was my VA back then, we started like a small call center from his house. I remember he had a friend, Tofi, and Michael, and I forget the other guy's name, but we had like three people going to Daryl's house. I bought a big oak desk and computers that was in his living room. So during working hours, is before COVID, he was there to listen on their phone calls and like whisper and say, oh, say this, and whatever. And Daryl got really good at that. And like, that's how we're starting to get really good results. Cause while I was door knocking, I was getting deals done from actually cold calling, just pre-foreclosures. And that December, I think I did 14 deals in that December. And then Cody and Pace were like, hey, like, we're not getting that same result from our cold callers. You have three and they're doing better than our 10. What can we do? I'm like, oh, I got a Daryl. Let me get Daryl in with you guys and let him work with your team. Daryl did. He got in and helped their team. And they're like, oh, this is working really well. We need to help other people. And that's how Start Virtual was born.
Share a little bit about Start Virtual for anybody who doesn't know who it is. Like, we know what it is, but most people probably don't know what it is. So
Start Virtual came from that one solution, right? It was basically from our own necessity, because we wanted more cold callers. We wanted more, you know, solutions for our own business. And we're like, hey, I think a lot of other investors could do the same. So we started a virtual staffing company that eventually branched out to other industries and admin and stuff. But basically it started as like, hey, you guys want more leads? Hire our cold callers. We'll train them up and we'll manage them for you, right? So, you know, we did a lot of that. Speaking of which, Cody's texting me right now. So like, we did a lot of that for the first little bit. And it was crazy because like, it took us about a year in that company to make about $400,000, which was good. Just like inception to making money. And then just like the second year, it just blew up. We ended up making right around $9 million in that second year. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Just in a virtual assistant company. You know, it was cool.
Well, you just skipped over that like it was no big deal, Matt. Yeah. Like, you went from 400,000 to 9 million. That's a big difference. So what happened? Like, how? Wow. What sort of lever did you find? What sort of niche did you find? Like, what was the catalyst for the growth?
Yeah,
well, I'm so glad that Logan stopped you there, because you said that and then I was like, holy shit, what? And then like, and then you kept going and I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just not advanced enough yet. But you know, normally Matt Beard just says 9 million, he goes over it. I'm like, okay, I just need to be cooler. So oh yeah, 100%.
Well, you know, I think it was, we really were just fumbling through in the beginning, working with our family and our friends. And like, just like everyone else, like, we're always trying to invest in ourselves to feel like to figure out what can make the business better. And there was a lot of constraints early on, right? It was like, okay, as we hire more virtual assistants, there needs to be an infrastructure of leadership and managers and all this stuff that we were basically figuring out on the fly. And then to that end, it's like, okay, well, how do we properly market this? How do we get this in front of more people? And you guys know as Pace grows, like, oh my gosh, his brand exploded during that period of time too. So that was super helpful. And then also like building internal teams for sales and then tweaking our offer to figure out what's the right price point. There was so much stuff that happened. But really it just came out of us just figuring out as we were going along, to be like, okay, cool. Now, you know, putting the product first to figure out something, okay, this is something people will pay for. This is how we keep people around because like we're providing the service and we're keeping our promises. Great. Now we have a really good service. We just need to put it in front of more people. So, you know, we did a lot of affiliate pushes. We worked with a lot of other affiliations. That's one of the biggest things in the real estate industry, in regards to like Pace, Jamil and other influencers. Influencer marketing is huge. So again, making sure the offer was good first before we put it in front of other influencers, audiences. And that's where it really got us to take off because we were just figuring it out in the beginning before we got it in front of people.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. I think that's really important that a lot of new entrepreneurs want to skip. They want to skip the, let's have a really good product first. Let's make sure that it works. And then, we can go to what Sam's favorite word is, which is scale, right? Like, stay small in the beginning because you're gonna make mistakes and make mistakes with people who are okay with making mistakes. So you can fix the product. Right.
Grateful to have friends that let us mess up big time, right? Totally. They were paying us to basically figure it out. And it's nice to have that. And I think even to this day, like when I test other things that we have going on, it's great to have people who just trust me and be like, Matt, I know you're figuring it out, but I know just being in your role, I'm going to get value. I'm like, thank you. We are just figuring it out. So, you know, that was Start Virtual. But like I said, like it was one of those things where I never got into this industry thinking that I was going to build the biggest virtual assistant company in the world. That wasn't the thing that really gave me a lot of energy. And I think this is super important. The money, like all that growth and stuff, you know, the money will not bring you happiness, period. And to say no to things that do not serve you, say no to things that do not give you energy, say no to things that are almost quietly killing you inside is tough when there's millions of dollars on the line. How many people can walk away from millions on the table just because they just don't like doing it? That's what I did. I sold my interest in the company in January because I just didn't want to do it anymore. I'm like, this is great. It's a cool company. I just think you guys need to have someone else here. Right. And it's easier said than done. You know, when it's like, oh, I can continue to bleed this out and make millions of dollars over the next couple of years, or I can go do things that I want to do because I know I'm going to have a bigger impact over there. And that was kind of the decision-making that I had to make, you know, but
all the listeners are out there like, yeah, Matt, like I will, I'll see for myself, right? When I get $1 million, then I'll let you know. But 100%. I think this actually is a message. One of those messages that you think about from when you were a kid and your parents used to tell you, like, I tell you this is going to happen. And all of a sudden you're like, no, it'll never happen. And then years later, you're like, oh, like dad was right. Mom was right. Like
right.
In this case, like everybody's listening. You haven't made your money yet.
Right.
Like you'll listen back to this conversation and be like, oh yeah, I remember when Matt said that. You know what?
Yeah.
He was right.
Well, I hope, and I know everyone watching, you guys are going to have more success than you can ever dream about. I hope you get to the place in your life where you decide what you will tolerate and what you won't tolerate and what you want to see out of your life. And what will be your impact? What will be your story? Like you were talking about origin story here. Like, what is it? What mark do you want to leave? So for me, you know, like even like my own family is like, are you sure? Like you're just basically making free money over there. I'm like, yeah, this is pointless though. Doesn't give me anything. I know the same energy and effort that I'm putting into this thing. If I put it over here, it could be 10 times better. It could be 100 times better. And it's like, it's crazy because just 3 years prior, that version of me would have been grateful, would have been like, oh my God, I'm just so happy to have this. But you know, but like, as you learn and as you grow, you start to, it's crazy how your mind can just change like that. But again, how fast your life can change once you decide like, hey, this is what I'm about and this is what I'm going to do. And you know, I had always, I was so naive. I was always writing the, you know, the Jim Carrey thing, like wrote a check to myself for $1 million. And I was like, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 25. And when that didn't happen, I'm like, maybe it's going to be 30. Right. But I did never had a vehicle to do it. But when I turned it really, this all started when I was 27. And within 2.5 years, I became a millionaire. And it's just crazy, like how fast it can happen when you decide. And I think most people just like never give themselves a chance for it to happen because they're always bouncing from opportunity to opportunity, and it will never happen. You know.
So I've said this before, and I'm never not going to say this. I hope our listeners and our viewers get so much wisdom out of this and so much growth from this. Selfishly, like this is all for me. Logan has no idea that we just do origin story, honestly, for my own personal selfish growth and wisdom. A lot of what you're saying is resonating so much with me, and it's because Logan has taught me this idea that you can be potent in the things that you do. And if you start doing things that no matter how much they pay you, they just take away from your mental bandwidth, your spiritual bandwidth, you become less potent in the things that matter. And then what ends up happening is I love this phrase by Hermosi, and it's you start feeling like you're always everywhere and at the same time nowhere. And it's like, well, I have 10 different income streams and I'm working 14 hours a day, but I feel like I'm not moving the needle an inch anymore. And so
you're deluded. Exactly. And it's like, are people seeing the highest version of you when they see you? Because again, it goes back to that same idea of like half-assing a bunch of different stuff, even though it's like to most people would be like, holy crap, that dude's crushing it. But internally, you know, you could do so much better, you know? So the potency, I love that. That's so good. It's like you're deluding yourself by doing too much.
It's so powerful. And it's one of those things where this year, especially, I've had to start very consciously start saying no to pretty much everything that comes my way. And it's something that like
that's
Logan,
hard, dude.
There's a few hard business ideas that are like out there right now that are very like synergistic, and they're easy, and they would be like, Sam, man, that'd be like the most like sensible Sam, no. thing for me to do.
I tell Sam no, but I don't tell him no because I do tell him no that he will actually go do it. So I have to like say it in like nonchalant way of like, I'm just telling you what I think and trying to get him to the same conclusion. Because like Sam is like you and I, Matt, is like, if you tell him he can't do it, he's like, bro, let me show you.
Yeah, for sure.
Logan does for this amazing sure. thing. He knows there's this potential business venture in front of me, and I'm like, and it'd be very easy, and it'd make a ton of money. And then Logan sends me this audio message, and he tells me all the reasons why he wouldn't do it. And then the one cool thing is this, and I want everyone to have. I'm selfish. They can't have Logan in their lives, but they need to.
I say everybody needs a Logan, man. More people need people telling them no Logan. In their life.
Exactly. They need a Logan. They need a Matt. And it's because, guys, I mean, in the last 6, 7, 8 months, right, I saw this wave in this industry. Arbitrage was the big thing. Then like general Airbnb, right?
Yep.
Then multifamily. Now it looks like buying businesses. Now there's always going to be a flavor of the week.
Yes.
And so it's the reality is this, guys. There's very few people who are equipped, and you have to be very experienced and have so much infrastructural bandwidth to be able to do 25 different things. You really need to be focused on the one thing. So Matt, I am so glad you said that, because it's just like, and I don't know, Logan was in his mind. He was like, haha, this is all the shit that I've been telling Sam.
It's so true. And like, I don't even know how else to say it other than the reason why I stepped away from Start Virtual and, you know, going back all in my real estate business is because like, do I think that my real estate business is going to make $10 million a year? No, I do not. I don't think it's going to make anywhere close to that, but it allows me to go do the things that I want to do on the impact side, which I love teaching. I love talking in front of people. I love like there's some other little ancillary things that I've been building up that I just didn't have the bandwidth to do while I had this behemoth on my back, right? So it's just, you know, self-awareness, God, is so important. And it's easier said than done. Everybody needs a Logan. That's the thing.
Everybody, I'm gonna put that on a shirt, honestly. That's gonna be our first origin story merch, is everybody needs a Logan.
Yes.
So Matt, you sold off your share from the company in January, right?
Yep.
After you did that, I mean, with all the other business ventures that you got going on, you have a renewed focus on, you know, focusing on the real estate, focusing on a ton of wraps that you're doing right now. Do you feel like you're just moving the needle so much more now? Do you feel more potent?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think it's more for me was more along the lines of doing things that I wanted to do because I wanted to do them. You know, not saying anything about any, I just wanted to have freedom to make moves, right? That's it, right? I didn't want to have a thumb on me or be put into a certain box of like, you can only do this. I had a lot of pressure to do that early on. I was like, hey, we're going to stop doing this. And Matt, you're just going to do this. And you're just going to work in this company and do it. I didn't get into this to do that, right? And to be honest, like I put a lot of my value into other people's validation, right? Of being like, oh, did I do a good job? Tell me I did a good job, right? And then getting out of that world was just so refreshing to me, being like, God, there's a whole nother world out here. There's so many more opportunities. There's so much stuff. And I was like going back and believing in myself, that same person that was door knocking, the same person that way back was not even that long ago, but back then was just doing it because he believed in himself. Like that is that feeling again. And it's so refreshing to be like, man, I get to work on the things that give me energy. And yes, it's a shit show all the time, right? We're always figuring it out, right? Even like I'm trying to say more, say no more now than ever, but it's hard to do that. It's hard to say no when everybody's like, oh, we got this business and this and this and this. So like we have a title company we're starting, but I'm having nothing to do that. I have an operator and a person that's setting all of that up. Only thing they need from me is a check. Boom. Okay. You guys do that. Okay. You know, we have these other little ancillary things. I have an operator here. He's in the office. His name's David, the most dependable guy you'll ever meet. But Cody is the pace. He's my Cody, right? He makes things happen for me that otherwise it would not happen. So like, I think it's finding great people. And one thing that I love the most out of building businesses or doing any of this, I haven't even scratched the surface as a lot of these other guys you've talked to and the other things that the world that's out there. But the best part is working with amazing people. That's my favorite part. Like yeah. I get to say like these folks that work with me here, it's not like an army of 1,000 slaves that everyone, we're locking arms here. Like we treat everyone equally. And my job is to continue to try to build that opportunity up to where like everyone feels like they can live their vision inside of what we're doing here. And like so many of them have equity stakes in what we're doing or they get profit shares because like if I make money, everybody makes money. And that's been really fun to do for sure.
You know, what's really cool about you, Matt, and you know, Sam told his story of how he came in contact with you. My story, how I came in contact with you was coming to the mastermind. 3 weeks into coming into Sub 2, like, and I don't have a real estate business. I don't have a wholesale business. I have a fixed flip business. Like I had a couple buy and holds and I'm sitting in there in this room with 20 other wholesalers kind of looking around and hearing you talking about, you know, cold calling and door knocking and Cody talking about, you know, the operations of a wholesale business. I'm just like, Am I in the right place?
Am I in the right place? I remember Pace was like, all right, they just came here from Bigger Pockets. So
yeah. And how ironic is that? That the guy has this book right here from Bigger Pockets.
Bam.
Right?
Dude, so funny. Crazy. So funny. Insane.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I have really been, you know, a silent observer of your is your leadership skills, even watching like the Zero to Hero thing that you did. Right. And like your ability to communicate with your team is something that's truly special. And it comes from your intention. It comes from your heart. It comes from you actually see greatness in your staff members. And that's something that while it can be learned, it's something that you have done a fantastic job at being aware of and then working at that skill.
I appreciate
and
that.
Every time you talk about your team now, like I can envision it based on what I've seen you actually do in that Zero to Hero challenge. And then of course, being able to see you like teach and coach at that mastermind.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I appreciate that, man. I think it comes from like, how would I want to be communicated with? How would I want to be treated? You know, there's just like, there's love languages in your relationship with your spouse, fiance, significant other, whoever. There's love languages in business too. There's ways people like to be recognized. There's ways people like to be communicated with. There's some things people want to be exonerated for. So we have a leaderboard. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people just like, you know, a gift card to go take, you know, their other significant other out for dinner. Like, well, it's just really interesting to me to see what motivates people. It's tough because I have a hard time saying, you know, having the tough conversations. One thing that I've grown a lot in the last like year and a half, probably a year, honestly, is having tough conversations with people when I know they're not cutting it, but I love them as a person. My God, you're a brother, you're a sister to me. Like we're family, but you're not doing good on your job, right? The work isn't getting done. I would always like try to sugarcoat it. I would try to be like, hey, like, you know, what do we got to do? But I just learned that what would happen is I'd end up resenting myself because I'm like, why am I not having these conversations? Why am I not doing this? Why am I not confronting the problem? And within the last year, it's been, and it's interesting because like when you give people tough love, they respect that, you know? And I was like, oh, hey, I just had a tough conversation with you and you still like me? And then I'm like, okay, you don't, it's not even about you liking me. And it's like, I'm just trying to do what's best for everybody here. The allegiance is with the business. So leadership is something that, I mean, I never read any books on it, but it was just one of those things where it's like, hey, how would I want to be communicated with? And you know, how can I be a respectable person? And being a good leader is tough because like you always have to be on. You got to be here every single day, right? I mean, I just gave out team job descriptions last Monday and say, guys, what we've been doing, because I start find out, you know, we 9 to 5, but some people start coming in at like 9:20. I don't say anything. Some people leave at like 4:30. We'll try on golf shoes or something, you know, whatever. I'm like, hey. So I had to reset the team literally 2 weeks ago. And I was like, guys, this is, I don't, we're going to say this again. I took them all out to Oso and we got offshore, off site. And I was like, look, this is what we're going to do. And if you're agreeing to this, then you, and you come to work on Monday, then you're agreeing to this, but you have an opportunity to quit. You can leave right now and that's okay. I love you. But if we're going to do this, this boat is going to the Bahamas. If you want to go to Mexico, if you want to go to Miami, if you want to go to wherever, go do that. But this is where we're going. Right. And I think people respect that a lot and you learn it as you go. But like, it's probably my favorite part about doing all of this.
Yeah. You're an operator through and through, dude. Like that's the game is it's a constant, like figuring out how do I continue to reset expectations? I heard this from Patrick David and he has this expression. He's like, you got to know when to turn a 3 into a 9. And you also got to learn how to turn a 9 into a 3. Right. And so like, it's like some of those small things you got to figure out, how do I take that small thing and make it like, how do I blow it up? So it's like, people understand like this is a problem. So 100%. It doesn't actually become a 9. Right. And obviously on the other side of that, we actually have like, a crisis, you have a 9, you're like, you got to be the calm coach. Hey, like you got to bring it back down to a 3 and get people focused on what they got to do. Right. And so like, when I heard that, I was like, ooh, that
is really good. It's funny. Cause like, we'll have like, you guys know it's real estate. Stuff's always on fire. Right. And like Cherie will come in. She's our TC who works here in the office. And she'll be like, Matt, this is and blah, 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 blah. And she like, I'm like, okay, so what's the solution? Well, I could call you and she comes up with a solution. I'm like, okay, let's go do that. She goes, I don't know. I never know if you're upset or not. I never know if you're anxious or not or worried. I'm like, yeah. It's like, because something good happens, I'm right here. If something bad happens, I'm right here. I don't change. It's just right here. And yeah, it's like, hey, when something is a problem, like culturally toxic is probably one of the biggest things. Systems we can fix. But like people, things that fester, things that like side talk, drama, toxicity, these kind of things, right? Like I always call like, it was funny. Cause like almost like 2 months ago, I have my brother working for my real estate company and I'm like, he almost started a mutiny. He was like, whatever. And I was like, I had to like have a conversation with him. I'm like, hey, this is what you did. And this is why, number one, people, it's hard for them to respect you when you do this. If you're a leader, you can't do that. And number two, if you're going to do this, like you got to understand like what this does to the company. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, being able to have those conversations when they're necessary. It doesn't matter if I have family members working for me, I have friends working for me. I actually encourage that, but you got to be willing to have tough conversations for sure.
Yeah. It's funny because I think people are afraid of that, but Sam has been around me and my family. Like I'm tougher on my family than I am on.
Oh dude. Yes.
So yes. It's like, if you don't work with me, that's cool. But like, they know the expectation. They don't want to work with me. They don't want to work for me because they know they're coming.
I mean, I honestly, it's really kind of interesting. I love that we just went down here because just like you, I come from basically, my parents didn't stay together. I was raised by a single mom. And so I never understood. It's not that I didn't understand. I never had a model family to look after. And then Logan's family was the first family that I ever got to look at. It's like, there's two parents and they have kids, they have structure. And then sometimes it's kind of scary. It's like they have meetings, like formal meetings. And I gotta say, I mean this with nothing but love. I mean, like sometimes when I talk to Logan, I'm terrified. I am terrified to go into that meeting because I'm like, God, what did I screw up on now? And here's the thing though.
He's gonna shoot it to you straight though.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Yeah. You mentioned this earlier, Matt. I think this is why I think this is the one of the Logan superpowers too. I think Matt, you have it as well, because Matt, you're amazing at culture building. Something you actually taught me that when you were doing your YouTube lives, you taught me about culture and how to be a leader and all these things. And one thing about that you mentioned earlier is that you can have those hard talks and people will still love you after it, and they'll actually respect you, because here's the thing. It actually takes an amazing leader and someone who actually gives a damn to be able to sit you down and have the hard talk, because the easy thing to do would just be to cut you off and move on. Yeah. And the fact that you're willing to do that, the fact that Logan's willing to do that, you know, obviously with his family, but even with me, and I know he does this with one of my best friends on earth, Daryl. And it's like, Daryl and I, we talk about this because like, we're like the two young guys that the Manzanares family just basically kind of adopted out of, you know, vicariously. And we're like, you know, he and I talk about it, we're like, man, we're terrified to talk to Logan sometimes. We know we're going to get, you know, lovingly torn apart. But it's funny because we look forward to people like you, Matt, to people like Logan. And it's like, you guys just know better than us. We need that in life. We need that leadership from someone who is ahead of us in life, who's had more life experience, to showcase to us that we're screwing up, because we may not ever see it.
100%, man. Like, Sam, again, somebody's got to say it, you know, and it's tough. Like, I feel like naturally, I don't know if this is a gift or whatever, I was discernment of people. I can typically tell, like, if they have a good heart, right? Just from like talking to them, I feel really confident in that. But that has also led me to being really tough to have those kind of conversations whenever something isn't right. And, you know, people getting mad in the moment and being like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I can't believe we're having this conversation. Or just like literally yesterday, I had to have one of these conversations. But like, man, like in the moment, things get heated, maybe things get tense, but I had to learn, like, man, standing your ground is respectable. And it also shows like, okay, this is what a leader looks like. And this is what it should be. You know, like one of my biggest challenges as a kid was I always thought I was better than people. And that's not a good thing, right? I was an elitist. I'm like, while you guys are partying, I'm working. I love working. I love doing what I'm doing, mainly because I was like, I'm not going to be like everybody else. I told myself I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 25, right? But that naturally led to like being a little standoffish and people couldn't talk to me. I'm like, why is this? I'm like, oh, because I am an asshole, right? Yeah. So naturally it's like, hey man, like I had to check my own ego and say, look, you got to be able to talk to everybody. You got to be a chameleon. No matter who is in front of you, you got to be able to relate and you got to be able to talk to folks. And I think that's been really cool because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And there's so much that I learned in this business journey. I always wanted, like I was telling you guys, I always wanted affirmation that I was doing the right thing and tell me I did a good job, because I didn't have a dad. You know, my dad was always like, you're not doing enough. Or even when I walked on and freaking made it and played Division I football, he never said it was proud of me, whatever. And I would just keep that inside. And that led to just so much other like resentment and just like wanting someone to just tell me I did a good job. And I realized that about myself. And I'm like, okay, well, how can I turn this into a good thing? How can I do something with all of this stuff? We all got a story. I don't think my childhood was bad at all, you know, but you ask my brother, he has a completely different take of it, you know? And it's like, how do we turn the things in our life that maybe some people can look at negatively and say, this is how this helped me and this is how this serves me. So being a leader was like, it's almost like I wanted to be there for people the way people weren't there for me. If you know, if that makes sense.
100%. So I want to touch on something before we talk about what you have going on right now with in the real estate mentorship space, Matt. But Sam, I want you to talk to a little bit about working with a family member, because I work with my wife, Matt. You work with your brother, and then Sam, you work with your brother as well. So kind of speak to your relationship with your brother as well.
Oh, you want me to? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So. Yeah, so me and my brother, we've actually founded a data company together. And, you know, one thing that's really cool is that, man, you know, Start Virtual is based on you guys solving a very high-level problem that not a lot of people had solved yet. We did the same thing, and it was in data. I'm not going to get too much into that. And it's funny. It's one of those things that I always strayed away from, because I was always taught you don't do business with family. It's kind of like this overarching rule that we hear. And then what ended up happening is this. Logan knows this because he's coached me through this quite often. I had multiple different partnerships, right, where I like became friends with someone and I would rush into partnerships because they felt great in the moment. And we always had great momentum right off the bat. And then guess what happens? Didn't set proper expectations, right? We wouldn't align on core values down the road. And you don't notice that stuff in the beginning, because in the beginning most partnerships, everything is like the best thing on earth, right?
You're just grateful someone's crazy enough to do it with you.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, okay, cool. And it's like, you know, a lot of times we just want to have someone in the trenches with us and that we don't, you know, look for the bad sometimes. And as relationships go on, sometimes bad things come up. Sometimes we understand that, hey, we may not be as aligned as we thought we were in core values. And one thing that I actually had this partnership that kind of blew up, and it was because we just discovered some core value issues. And then one of the most powerful things that Logan taught me in that moment, I'm never going to forget it. He actually sat me down on like a 2-hour private Zoom, just me and him. And he told me, he's like, Sam, one of the most powerful things you can do is walk away and realize that you don't need them. It was one of the most powerful things on earth that's ever happened to me. And I internalized that and I resonated with that. And then I would go on and on and on. I'm like, okay, cool. Now I entered this kind of semi-stupid phase where I was like, I don't need anybody. I'm going to become a billionaire on my own. The reverse problem, right? So I ended up kind of coming up with this idea for this data company. It's doing amazing so far. And I realized, like, I do need an operator, right? I'm your typical visionary. I need an operator integrator type. And then what I was really kind of doing is I was auditing everyone in my circle. And I'm like, I know there's people who would be core value fits, but no matter how well you know a friend, like unless you've known them for years and years and years and years, you don't truly know what happens behind closed doors.
Dude, it's like moving in with somebody. You don't know their habits.
100%.
It's like, did you take a shower this morning? Like what?
Exactly. And guess what happened? I actually ended up finding out that someone who I'm extremely aligned with in core values is the older brother who basically raised me, is the person who gave me a lot of my core values. And then what we quickly found out is just through the differences in nature between us, I'm your visionary. I'm the outspoken one who likes podcasting and, you know, doing stage stuff. Mm-hmm. He likes being behind the desk, and he has the complementary skill set to me that I needed. And lo and behold, it's one of those things where it's like you're looking for this answer forever, you know, and you didn't realize the answer is right here next to you, and it's your freaking family member. So now we had this talk with Logan. We had this talk with Veena Jetty, who's in business with, I believe, her sister, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this kind of taboo thing. Don't work with family. I say don't rush into working with family, but a lot of times you will actually know your family's core values. You'll know their merits.
Yes.
You'll also know their weaknesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know how to communicate with them. So I think it's an underrated thing. I think don't rush into family business just because it's family. That shouldn't be your answer. That should not, because we're related, we will do business together. I don't know about that. Great. But
no.
But a lot of the times the best answer sometimes right is right there in front of you. So I'm actually super stoked to hear that. But Matt, I wanna know this, you know, and I'm actually gonna highlight that you said this earlier. You had a difficult talk with your brother about some stuff, about leadership and being positioned as a leader. Mm-hmm. I want to get your take on this. We're blessed. My brother and I haven't really butt heads yet on the data company.
We
haven't gotten into a fight yet. So I'm super glad on that. But when that time comes, how do you go about that discussion? Right? Because it's one thing to have it with an employee. It's another thing to have it with big bro.
Sure. Yeah. Well, for number one, I feel like it's one of the most special things you can do in this world is to share this with a family member. Right? I think that's amazing. Yeah. Like, you know, my wife has no interest in doing this at all, but she's my biggest cheerleader. Like, you know, like she'll support me, whatever craziness. She doesn't even understand the stuff that we do, but she supports me. But like sharing this with my brother, man, no matter what, like it's really super duper special. But the way that you approach these kind of conversations, whether it be a family member, friend, whatever, is just through consistency, right? Like I can't let other people slide and then be hard on them. Or I can't let them slide and then be hard on other people, right? It all starts with the same standard across the board, right? Because otherwise, everything just becomes, you're undermining everything, right? So like if I let him slide on leaving early from work, or if I let him slide on not submitting his end-of-day report, or if I let him slide on not doing the work that he agreed to do, all of a sudden that gives everyone else the same, you know, that same freedom to not do those things, right? It's like, hey, we're making an agreement here. And the agreement works both ways. And it doesn't matter if he was my business partner or if he's a, you know, just an employee working. It's like, It all comes through consistency. And the reality is, most of the time, when people aren't doing the things that you hope that they're doing, is because either it wasn't communicated properly, so there's misalignment of expectations, mm-hmm. or number two, you're not taking it serious, and you have given them the freedom to be like, oh, well, they don't seem to be that, you know, that strict on X, Y, and Z. That's why it's tough to be an entrepreneur. It's why it's tough to be a leader. It's why it's tough to own a business or to do anything. Gosh, as a leader, is because you always have to be on. You can't take a day where you tell someone that you're going to do something and you don't do it, because that just undermines everything else that you've been saying that you're going to do, right? You saying, as simple as like, hey guys, we're going to go somewhere for lunch, right? And I'm like, oh, we're going to go eat lunch in, right? And I don't keep my word and told them I'm going to do something and I don't do it. Well, like, it undermines everything else that we're doing. Like, that one little thing that's unrelated to business. Well, like, okay, well, now Matt doesn't take his word that serious. So what else is he doing? Where else does that show up in his life? Yeah. You know, when he says something and doesn't do it. So,
and as I am able to rub shoulders and have conversations with people who are successful in life, that can be business, that can be in their health, that can be in, mm-hmm. in relationships. What I notice in them is that they pay attention to what people say and if they do what they say. And that is like a good marker of whether they want to continue to be in a relationship with somebody who they had just met. Is they're like, they're keen on looking for, are you somebody who like says the smallest thing that is incongruent or do, mm-hmm. is what you do is different, a little bit incongruent than from what you said. And man, those are just like little things. And that's, and so like, because I noticed that they do, I'm like, I start looking for it too. I'm like, I'm looking for just the slightest incongruence. I'm like, okay, if I see something, then I'm like, oh, now I have to like keep going down this rabbit hole, right?
Right, dude. And it's like what you got to do, this may sound ridiculous, but you provide these little tests, mm-hmm. right? You start putting these little things out there to see if people are going to do it, right? When we go to interview a salesperson, and while I'm talking to someone and a salesperson, I'm like, all right, yeah. So typically we start our day 9 a.m. We finish at 5. Typically get in here about 8:45 or so we can get started. There's a really good book I love on sales. It's called Never Split the Difference. It's a hostage negotiator, right? And I'll drop the book name, and like the very best people. This is crazy because we've hired, I don't know, not quite 100. We probably hired like 70 plus salespeople here in the office. And the people that have done the best and have stuck around didn't show up at 9 a.m. to come work. They showed up at 8:40, right? And they're like, oh, man, I picked up that book over the weekend. My gosh, that was crazy. The story about the Philippines. Yes. Yes. These little tests to see. Because like otherwise you don't know. Because hiring is, like Gary Vee says all the time, hiring is guessing. You don't know what you're getting. But you can find out pretty quick who you're, what that person's about, you know?
I think there's another side of that too. There's like, okay, so if you understand that from your point of view and you want to like try to build trust in somebody else, it's like, I will always say, hey, I'm going to do something like, hey, I'll get to that by Friday. Today's Thursday. Like, I'll get it to you by tonight. Right. It's like, I will put myself in situations where I will say, I'll do this. And then I'll make sure that I do it before that as a way to like start to earn someone's trust who's new, who I'm new to a relationship with. So it can work that way as well.
That's the little things. Like, why does it take so long to build a relationship? Why does it take so long for someone to trust you? It's because like there's all these little tests that, I mean, these things have to get passed. And the just like we front load the work to get better at something and sucking, it's like, hey, if I can start making these agreements with folks and make these promises, hey, I'm gonna get this to you by Friday, get it to you by Thursday. Great. Boom. That's a check in the right box. Okay. What else can I do? Right. I love that. That's so good.
Yeah. And you can steal that concept when you're onboarding new clients, when you're onboarding new employees. Like it works the same thing. It's like if you can set an expectation and follow through with it, again, it doesn't have to be early, but if you can set the expectation, you can follow through with it. Like you do these micro expectations, you earn so much trust.
I'm going to get that meal plan to you in 48 hours. We definitely have your meal plan. You got it to them by the next morning.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. No.
Yes.
Awesome.
I love that.
I want to real quick, you know, as we're running up on time, I want to highlight this. I'm really glad we're talking about this because essentially what we're talking about is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It's consistency. And Logan is, to this day, I've never met a human being who's more consistent than Logan. Like Matt, you know, Logan, crazy. You know, it's like every freaking day at 4 a.m. he's on the treadmill, flexing his biceps and let's go. Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss. I will say he doesn't tag me in it as much anymore. And I told him like me seeing that every morning is part of my daily routine now, and I don't see it as much, which annoys me. I've realized that, and this is because consistency is something that I've generally struggled with in life. Oh, dude. Because I always got by on, I got by on talent on a lot of things. And when you go, when you get by on talent in a lot of things, you tend to cut corners and consistency ends up suffering. So for me, I love keeping people like Logan around me. Logan is, it's so funny because I take so much just from consistency and I can see the same thing in you. Matt, you're so like just going live every single day for a year.
Yeah.
Like that is actually very difficult to do. I went live every day on Instagram for 30 days. I actually, I missed one day. I'll admit that I missed one day. And I was like, this is the hardest crap on earth.
And you sent me like $1,000 for that, right? Or something like that.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, dude, because it's difficult. Life. There's no way around it.
Well, I want to say this because, you know, to a lot of new entrepreneurs who watch this, I'm being completely honest. If I look at my entire journey and look at all the people that I aspire to be like and look like, forget the sales skills, forget being a closer, forget knowing every exit strategy there is in real estate. Just show up every single day.
Yeah.
And this is something that I'm still working. I am nowhere close to where I want to be in it, but
it's huge,
have someone like a Logan or like a Matt in your life who models that consistency. And it'll just hold you so much more accountable. So I have to give my hat to both of you guys for that. Cause that is to me, Marlon, Mindset Marlon, we all know him. He's amazing. He's also an extremely consistent human being in his workouts and all the things that he does. And it's, I've told him before this in private, the greatest compliment, Logan, you taught me this. The greatest compliment I can give anyone now is that they're consistent. Yeah. If I recognize you as a consistent human being in a positive manner, like to me, that is the highest regard I can hold you in. And 100%. So I want everyone to take that. That's just my personal take on
it. Well, it's difficult. It's not easy. You got to show up every day. And it's like, you know, I hired a coach just to basically tell me to be more consistent, right? Going back to the most basic stuff, I hired a guy, paid him a ton of money just for me to get, you know, some freaking gall to be like, hey, I need to change my life, you know? And it's so true because it's like, I look at myself and I was like, I used to be a person. I don't ever want to be a used to be. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I walked on and played football. I used to be a personal trainer. It's like, okay, well, where else does it show up in your life, Matt? Right. Yeah. If I'm overweight and I'm overeating and I'm not exercising, like, okay, that's got to show up in other places. So what is that telling other people? So I can be super consistent in business, but if I'm not doing it everywhere, then what's the point? And that's what's exhausting. But you, in order to start changing your identity, a phrase that really started to serve me well was, this is who I am, therefore this is what I do. So, you know, like it's, you know, working out, it's like in the morning, now that we have a newborn, I'm up at 3:30 to feed him. And then I go lay him down and I've been going to the gym. It's like, this is who I am. Therefore, this is what I do. Even though outwardly it doesn't look like that yet, but inwardly we're already there, you know? And that was the one thing that got me noticed way back when. Why did we end up partnering with, why did Pace want to partner with me? Why did we become business? But it wasn't because I brought him freaking real estate deals. It was because like I was so stinking consistent and in his shit all the time. You know, I was like, bro, we're doing these deals. I just got a 17 sub two deals. Here you go. Right. I just got us 15 more. Here we go. Right. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, hey, we should partner together. And I'm like, man, I'm so freaking grateful. I'm like, thank you for like, this is going to change my life. And he goes, I had no other choice but to partner with you. Yeah. Right. So like, that's the name of the game is just keep showing up and be consistent. And like, eventually you get to the point where showing up isn't enough and you have to be excellent. But you learn by sucking and consistently showing up and being bad that you have to get better. It becomes unreasonable. Alex Ramirez says it all the time. It becomes unreasonable for you not to be better unless you're just like learning nothing on a day-to-day basis. So for sure.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is that the basics will never rise to the level of being profound. So most people will just let it go. But it's one of those I told you so moments. Once you get there, once you just like make the decision to be consistent, you're like, yeah, you know what? Matt was right. Again, like Dad was right again. You know, and for me, like that's actually, I know that. Like I just understand. Like I know that people are like that. I know humans are like that. I know my family's like that. I know I'm like that. And so when it comes back to this, like I'm gonna go back a little bit to the idea of like we have conversation. Like I love conversation. I love having those conversations because like my goal is not to be liked. My goal is to be respected. And I know that in whether it's a year, whether it's 6 months, like even if our communication slows down or maybe potentially stops, like our conversation will be respected because it came from the right intention. And then like, you know what? Like Logan's right. I don't like him, but you know what? It was right. Mm-hmm. Right. Or it helped me.
Like right? He gave it to me straight.
The intention was right. Like the intention was right. Worst case.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Matt, I just have to wrap up here, my friend. Tell us what you got going on. Like tell us about this real estate mentorship called the Real Estate Circle.
Yeah. So, you know, ever since I stopped the Start Virtual thing and to go full time in my real estate business, it was more to make an impact with the stuff that we're doing on the real estate side. You know, from that point, you know, like when I sold Start Virtual, I took a payout. So I didn't get all of it up front, but I was like, hey, cool. I'm getting paid for the next 7 years of my life. I can really go start taking some risk here. Yeah. So that wasn't something that would have afforded me like years ago. I'd have been like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. So since then, like we went really heavy into the real estate, like our own real estate company, building out our processes and going heavy in the wrap stuff. And within a short period of time, I think my passive income from the wraps right now are sitting in like $31,000 a month, which is like really cool within like short period of time. Like, okay, what else can we do? Let's do some more. Amazing. So yeah. Great. So we've been, yeah. So like we've been just teaching people on that and that's been fun. The real estate circle is a really small group. We have like 1700 people in there. But we've been going live and obviously my team's in there. I have my brother teaching people acquisition. It's fun to see people doing their deals. We had a guy, Keith, like he's already purchased 4 properties in Texas in the last 3 weeks. So he's like, it's just fun to share it with other people when it comes from like, I've done this. So my whole model was like, I go do the things, I go test, I treat my whole real estate business as like a science project. I test it out. I'm like, oh, this worked. Cool. This is the winner. Let me go share this with other people. And that's been really cool to do. So like we have like a mentorship and stuff that we've been doing as well, like working with people hands-on, but most importantly, it's just been really fun to help anyone. It's like, hey, look, my first deal where I made that 12 grand changed my life. It was because like my mindset shifted like, oh my gosh, I can do this. And it doesn't really matter about the dollar amount. Is you actually see it happen for you, right? So that's been really cool to help a lot of people in that front. So we've been building that up.
So who's it for? Like the person who's out there, they're looking to get into like wholesaling, they're looking to get some passive income from wraps, what's looking to buy and hold, the fix and flip, who's your avatar?
Well, I think it's a lot of folks that feel like, you know, I equate real estate to you're standing in the middle of a shopping center and it's Black Friday and everybody's running around like crazy. And they're like, oh my gosh, I got a deal over here. And I got a deal over here. And I'm doing this. And I got this big check. It's like, most people are stuck like, well, what do I do? What's my first step? What do we need to do? So that was the idea behind Deal Launch. It's like, even if you don't want to buy your own wrap, even if you just want to assign right now, because you want to get cash, we can't buy every single deal that comes our way. We're doing 4 or 5 of these deals a week. And like, I don't have the capacity or the facilities to buy that many deals. I wish I had millions set aside to do all of these. And maybe one day I'll kick myself for not raising more money to do it. But like, we assign these deals and each one of these deals are worth $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. So it's like, hey, there's never been an easier time. Like, I wouldn't say easy. There's never been a more simple time to get into real estate if you know what to focus on, right? So we teach a lot of people like where to go find the deals, how to convert them. Heck, in Deal Launch, we even help people close their deal. We give you our systems. We give you our CRM. You bring us a lead, we'll close them for you and it's your deal. So that's like the whole idea there is getting your first deal, whether it be your first or your next. Maybe you've never done a wrap. Maybe you've never done a creative finance deal, a subject to seller finance, whatever. We'll make that deal happen. You're gonna learn a lot in the process. And then from there, it's up to you. I have like another mentorship on the back of that. It's called Wrap Lord. Cause I believe like, I don't want to be a landlord to a bunch of single family houses. Some people do, but that's not my model. I have rentals, but they give me the most headache. Instead, I want to be a wrap lord. That's what we call it. So that's the whole thing behind like teaching people how to structure these deals. And we have a whole TC company and we've learned a lot by messing up on a ton of wraps. So it's like, that's what we're now sharing with other people.
Dude, so good. So good. Yeah. So, yeah, so if anybody is interested in becoming a rap lord, WRAP rap.
That's right.
Go to.
Or Eminem, Rap God, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. That's my jam too. That's my jam. So go to Matt's Instagram, Matt Beard. I am Matt Beard.
I am Matt Beard. Yep.
I am Matt
Beard. Some Joker won't give me just Matt Beard. He's like, he's a regular dude that has like 5 followers and he won't respond to me. So I am Matt Beard is the handle.
And then his link in there is the Facebook group, or you can just go right on the Facebook and you can type in the Real Estate Circle and they can join the group, correct?
Yes, sir. That simple.
Amazing. Matt, dude, for real, man, it was great to connect with you again. And for you sharing your story, dude, like
always, man,
just appreciate you being open and sharing your story and like really like getting in there and like letting everybody into the feelings and the emotions and like we still all have things going on. It's not like we always have shit going on. Like we're always evolving, we're always growing. We're all human.
We're always learning towards
next season. Always.
Yes. 100%.
Before we sign off, I have to say this. Matt, congratulations on the birth of your son.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Thank you. That was our rainbow baby. We had a miscarriage last year, and this was the one right after that. So it was definitely really special, for sure. Our second son. So,
awesome. And it's you know as far as all the stuff that goes on in business, I can't wait to see how the business goes, how the mentorship goes, how the community goes. But to see you continually evolve as a person, as a husband, as a leader, I can't wait to see that. So Matt, echoing everything Logan said, dude, it's been an honor to have you here today, man.
Love it, brother. Thank you guys for having me. This is a ton of fun. We had a lot to get out, but we got it all out. So appreciate you guys. Thank you.